Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytane and Tsintsiyan First Nations are your hosts, Dr. Sher Chewy and Lee Cameron. You're listening to QualityCast North, where your hosts, I'm Sher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
And in case you hadn't noticed, healthcare organizations all over the globe are struggling with retention and recruitment of frontline staff. Since the COVID pandemic, many healthcare providers have taken early retirement, cut their hours, or simply relocated. Often highly trained and with specialized skills, strategies that focus on retention of these providers is preferable to recruiting and training new ones. But what factors influence a person's decision to stay or move? Or in other words, what matters to them? Our guest today is Dr. Kate Niethammer, a family physician and obstetrician who wanted to find the answers to these questions at her workplace, the maternity unit at the Bulkley Valley District Hospital in Smithers, Northern BC. Hello, Kate. So glad you could join us today.
Hi, thank you.
Now, before we dive into your improvement work, I wonder whether you can give us a little background about yourself, such as where did you grow up and how did you eventually find yourself working in your current role?
So I actually grew up in Smithers. But I am very surprised to have wound up back in Smithers at some point. So earlier on in my medical training, if you would have told me I was working in Smithers as a family physician and enjoying and thriving in my role, I would have told you there's no way. But life things happen and things change. So I was, now I consider myself lucky enough to come back to Smithers and be able to work where I grew up and do the job that I want to do.
And can you tell us a little bit about the community of Smithers? As some of our listeners may not be aware of that and where you live and maybe a little bit about the team of people you work with.
Sure. Yeah. So to start with Smithers, it is a small community in northern BC, so halfway between Prince George and Prince Rupert. And we have about 6,000 people live in Smithers, but our catchment area for our hospital is closer to probably about 10,000 people. From kind of Burns Lake to Hazleton, we provide all the maternity care for these patients, as well as emergency care and all a whole bunch of other things. But for this aspect, we provide that maternity care for a wide variety of people. And as far as Smithers goes, it's a beautiful little town. It has lots of resources for non-work stuff. I'm looking out, we have snow on our mountain, which I think is amazing in September or early October. Not everyone's as keen, but there's lots of outdoor stuff for everyone. And because of our location and our demographic that we serve, our hospital also has a lot of resources that other smaller places don't. So one part Smithers that I love and the reason I can do my job here is that we have a very solid operating room team that allows us to be able to do deliveries. And that's one of those things we're seeing in smaller communities in the north is once you lose your operating room, you lose your maternity skills or your ability to deliver babies. And so we have a really strong program here, which helps our maternity department thrive as well. So that's kind of part of the town. As far as my team is amazing. We are one of the few places that we don't struggle with the physicians not delivering babies. So a lot of places don't have enough doctors or they're on call all the time and they're getting burnt out. And we actually here, we have 7 doctors that deliver babies and one and a half midwives right now that deliver babies. So as far as like the colleague support, it's very strong here in Smithers. We have that for a while there. And part of what we're going to tie into is our maternity nurses. We were struggling with having enough maternity nurses to be able to run our department. But as we continue talking, I can talk more about that, but our maternity nurses are also awesome and really highly skilled and great at their jobs.
Yeah, and so turning to the provincial staffing crisis now for a minute, How has that affected your community and your healthcare team? And what has been the knock-on effect to your patients?
So, Lee, definitely you would know this kind of story, because when we first met, Smithers was in a very different situation than we are now for our maternity nurses. So a year ago, we were struggling to fill even one line in our maternity department. We didn't have enough nurses, and therefore we weren't able to provide the care that some of our patients needed. We were having to go on diversion, so families were having to relocate to Terrace, which is 2.5 hours by road, to wait to have a baby or to be induced for labor. And so that's a huge effect on our patients, but it's an effect on us too. How I got into this, I kept complaining, saying I couldn't do the job that I want to do. Families, women that I should be able, I have the skills to care for in our community, they were having to be sent away because it just wasn't safe, because we didn't have the staff in the hospital for that. And so that was the biggest, obviously that's a huge impact that luckily I can say has really changed a lot, that we haven't been on diversion. And in fact, we've been the diversion site for other communities over the summer, which is great to show how strong our team has come here as Smithers.
Super cool. So, part of that, the beginning of the improvement project, right? It was the building of the survey and that. So could you tell us about the rationale behind your improvement project survey and what insights you were hoping to gain?
Yeah. I don't know if it was rational. I think I was just complaining. I couldn't do my job, and that I didn't feel that what our nurses were asking for was that astronomical, and I couldn't understand why we weren't able to provide that. It kind of started with, for a long time, we've just had one nurse on maternity and we've run our department. But the culture of nursing has changed, that the nurses that were working on our med surge floor would also be maternity nurses. So you'd never actually be alone in the hospital. But that has changed. There's a lot more specialty nurses. So you're just trained in maternity, or you just do med surge, or you just do emerge, and they can't be backups for a delivery anymore. And so our nurses were feeling very alone, very uncomfortable with situations they were put in, and therefore they were pulling back from their services because they didn't want to work in those conditions, which obviously then kind of snowballs the issue. So I spent a lot of time going to meetings about nursing scheduling and recruitment for our community, which is great because I learned a lot. But really what it came down to is me being like, why can't we support our nurses? And then realizing that I actually don't have the skills or the power to change nursing nursing schedules or their union or all these other things that I don't understand. So the idea was brought forward by Dr. Jacobek to say, why don't you do an improvement project on this, to say, this is where we're at now. We're just assuming we know what nurses want. Well, we hear they want two lines or to work with someone, but what else do they want? And what are things that maybe they want that I can help with? So that's how the project kind of came to be, to say, letting them know that I'm listening. I don't have the power to change a lot of things, but there might be some things that I can do to make their job feeling more supported.
Yeah, that was really cool part of the project, right? And I remember, when you're first putting the survey together, that what matters to that targeted audience. But in building that survey, how did you come up with the questions that you included? And what did you do to maximize participation in the survey?
Yeah, so Lee, you definitely helped me a lot with those initial questions and the second one. We did look into the IHA, the joy at work, because I love the idea of joy at work. We don't always love going to work, but I love my job. And I think that we should always find something exciting at work that we look forward to. So I really, joy at work really spoke to me, and hoping to move forward with that. So we took questions from that and made them, initially our first survey, it was all online, and they could fill in answers. So we got some good information about small things, like they want scrubs that they can wear to work so they don't have to wear their dirty scrubs home and things like that, things that were attainable. And I got an okay amount of responses, but my new secret for surveys, and I've done two different surveys on this, is actually a physical copy of a piece of paper in someone's hand, even though bad for the environment, gets a lot more responses. So for my second survey, I would just have my survey with me and I'd go up to the maternity ward and see a nurse there and say, hey, do you have 2 minutes to just fill this out? And it was a faster one, you just on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'd say, I'll wait. So there might have been a little, I don't know, maybe ethically there might have been a little pressure there to say, okay, just get it done. I wasn't looking at responses, it was still anonymous. But then I think I got every nurse's response on that. So I'm not saying we have to go back to paper, but my experience is a paper survey actually got more responses.
I remember something about that survey too. And there was that one level of participation, but then as you moved forward, did you also incorporate them in some like different events?
Yes. Thank you, Lee, for guiding me through this. Like you have this whole project. Yes, I did. I think you should enjoy work, but we should also enjoy our time outside of work. So we hosted two different Joy at Work events outside of the hospital. This was doctors and nurses that provide maternity care were both invited as a time to get to know each other, to talk about work if we wanted to do whatever we want in an environment that was outside of work. So we had one event up on our ski hill where we cabin hopped to a few different cabins of people that work here at the hospital and did a little games and had some food, and it was lovely. And we took that feedback and made some changes for the next one because not everyone could attend. It's not a far ways away, but it is still a drive in the winter, and for people that had to work weren't able to make it. So then the next event, we had it at one of our local breweries in between shifts, so that we had people arrive after their shift and we had people come before they had to start their work shift. And yeah, and overall, I think everyone had a good time and getting to know each other. I did make them do surveys there if they hadn't too, so.
That's absolutely awesome. And you know what? You just can't beat the offer of free food or free drink or to get people out and engaged and participating. So that is an absolute truth. You're quite right. So, let's turn to the results then. And what did you learn from the survey? Were there any surprises or interesting revelations? And, well, what actually matters to maternity nurses in rural hospitals?
Yeah, I would say I was not actually surprised by the answers because people want to feel heard and they want to be listened to and they want to be respected in their workplace. And that's not to say they weren't before, but it was saying, you know, they were wanting to be heard to say, we are asking for to have two nurses on. And so by the time I did my second survey, we were actually in the process of rolling that out. So it's a little bit serendipitous of timing, not necessarily because of this project, that we were starting to actually be able to implement some big things that they've been asking for a long time. So definitely having support at work is a big thing, but they also want food. You know, they ask for, I joke about pizza parties and how that's, you know, we're like, oh, sorry, you had to work so much here to give you pizza, but people do like food. It's a social thing. So asking for more events like that, and then small things like having hospital scrubs that are available, which ends up just being a little bit, it was a communication issue initially that was easily sorted out. But yeah, I think we just want to feel a part of a team, and that's what they want, and they want to feel respected at the workplace.
I think you've answered this already, to a degree already, but now you have that information, now that you have a feel for how to engage your staff and that you've opened up that two-way conversation in some ways. How can you act on this going forward? And is there any way that you can translate this into how you continue to retain your staff and maybe even recruit new staff to Smithers?
Yeah, so I think that just in the maternity department, we actually have, I don't want to brag because it wasn't just me, but like we have created such a strong team that we actually are having nurses coming. So we went from being on diversion a year ago, and now we have two maternity nurses 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So people are looking forward to coming to work. They're not by themselves. And so right now our maternity department is really strong. And so what I am hoping going forward is that I can start using this process in other areas of our hospital. So saying, okay, I've talked to my maternity nurses and we're going to continue to check in and have regular meetings and events and make sure that things are still going there. But we have a whole bunch of other nurses or other, not even nurses, part of the hospital that also could benefit from this. So already our eMERGE staff, we have not implemented any formal surveys, but they hosted a after hours event, joy at work party a few weeks ago for emergency staff. So I'm just hoping to for people to be able to see the successes that we've had in maternity and be inspired to make changes or do different things at other parts of our hospital.
That's awesome. And I think, I mean, from what you're telling me is that by a combination of just listening, opening up a two-way street for communication so that they can voice their concerns and suggest some potential changes, that and in combination with a few pizza parties and some social events, and you've solved your retention or recruitment issues. I mean, that's amazing.
There are a few other things like nurse ratios and a few other things that played a role, and it was just very, like I said, very serendipitous that I just happened to be recording during these other bigger changes that were happening for sure.
I've got you now. I got you. That's
No, pizza doesn't fix everything.
really? I actually thought it did.
I know. For me, it usually does. I won't lie, but yeah, no, there was other stuff happening in the background that had been working that we could have the two nurses to be able to offer those two lines. But I do think that the culture and the respect that is being created in the maternity ward was making people want to fill those two lines that were now in existence.
I got you. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we all see when other folks are having a good time, and we want to be part of that too, right? So, can you think of some of the things you've been through and the learnings around this? Could you see them being applicable to other rural communities who might also be struggling with to retain and recruit healthcare staff?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I don't think that anything I did was rocket science. But honestly, like as Nashu said, it's like I listened to some people, I let them complain. We did some surveys and we had some parties. That can in like you when you break it down to nothing that this project like kind of showed was earth-shattering. It wasn't these big dramatic things. It comes back to saying, listening to people, like asking questions about what they want. It doesn't mean that I was able to give them everything that they want to have joy at work, but there were some things. So I think, yeah, you can take that to any department and ask your staff to say, you know, how are you doing today? Like what can we do to make this better, whether you do it formally or not? And just having that back and forth communication and respect between everyone that's working so that you look forward to coming to work. I think that's how we retain and recruit because our jobs sometimes are not fun. Things we see or things we have to do can be hard. But I think if you have that connection with the people you're working with, the people you can talk to about when bad things happen, that makes you still enjoy your job. Because if you think about all the things that, you know, aren't fun as a nurse, like, you know, cleaning up. I'm not a nurse, so I don't want to minimize, but, you know, if you say, oh, I went to work today and this woman had a baby and there was blood and mess and grossness everywhere and I had to clean it up, like, that sounds terrible. But if you're like, I experienced this birth with a colleague and it was great and I had this help doing it, like, then you look forward to coming back to work, I think, or I do.
Fair enough. Yeah. And this pings totally into the next question. So is there something that larger healthcare organizations such as health authorities and the Ministry of Health can take away from this in terms of tackling the provincial staffing crisis on that macro level?
I want to say yes, because it is that human connection is what we have to do. And it's harder on the macro level. I would say it's harder for the whole of Northern Health to feel connected to every single nurse. It's easier in a small hospital where I do know every single nurse's name on the maternity department to have that connection, versus saying that our health authority lead would know all this or know everything. But I think, again, it's simple things that we did of listening, of actively asking for feedback, which I think is a little bit of we sometimes shy away from that, because I always joke, I actually only take positive feedback. I don't like negative, because no one does. But I think that's where we have to get negative feedback to hear what people want, with the understanding of we might not be able to fix everything, but that listening to what people want can make a difference on how people feel respected at the workplace. And I think that's a really important thing about people enjoying their jobs.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's the key thing, isn't it? Just being asked what matters to you, it goes a long, long way. And that's something that all health authorities, all our organizations can take on board and can do. Let's face it, it's straightforward to do. So let's change tack a little bit. And I think you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but staff burnout is an important part of this. And it sounded like you're members of your hospital, your staff hospital, were getting maybe a little bit close to that edge when it was coming to burnout. And so it sounds like this is something that you, your staff, your colleagues may have experienced. I just want to take a more personal note here, but, you know, do you have any strategies yourself that you use to avoid burnout? We're all susceptible to it. That's the problem. How do you tackle it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that you take it every day, really, is what happens. To do that. And, you know, today is like a prime example that I for sure took on too many tasks this morning. And I can't do that all the time. So, like, learning what your limits are, I think, is really important, and learning how to say no. And that's something I definitely struggle with. For me, I've always come back to, if you enjoy what you do, then it doesn't feel like work. I had a preceptor once. I think it was a precept. Someone at some point in my life said to me, you shouldn't feel like you need to take holidays. You know, I think we live in this culture of like, oh, we just work so that I can take holidays. But really, like, for me, and I do that too, when I have a holiday coming up, my job feels way, the days feel longer. But I think it's this, if you enjoy your job, if you have joy at work, then you don't need a holiday. You still take holidays, because that's a really important part of being human and having other, we shouldn't just work. But I think for me, like, for burnout is, and I see it in myself, or I see in my colleagues, it's when we're doing too many jobs that we don't like. So there's always aspects of your work that you don't like. I don't love doing paperwork, but that's part of the job I took on. And so you get through that, because I love interacting with my patients and I love delivering babies. And so I think finding that balance, and maybe doing, sometimes we can do more work in areas that we like and actually take on more work, and then let someone else that enjoys those other aspects of the job that we do here to kind of find that balance. But it's always it's not a perfect system, but I think when you actually enjoy what you do, that really helps a lot.
Yeah.
And saying no.
I would totally agree with that. And there's some great insights there. So thank you. Thank you for that. And I think it also behooves us as well to realize that we also have a role in affecting other people's enjoyment of work as well, in whatever circumstances that we work together as a team. So that's good. Okay, well, let's tie it all together now with our last question. And it's actually a question we ask all our guests. So why should people consider moving and living to work in Northern BC?
Okay. Because it's a fantastic place. I'm not even just Smithers. I think Smithers is an amazing place because of what it has to offer. But I think many, many places in the North have this. You can live in a community that is not too big. You don't have traffic. It's cheaper to live in general. So you can afford to buy a house. Maybe it's changing, but it's not city prices. So many of these places, because we're quite far we're far from the big center. So we have a lot of amenities because we need to have them. So it's like a town the size of Smithers, if it was closer to a bigger center, we wouldn't have as many things as we do. So there's that. Things are more affordable. There's an airport, so you can get to Vancouver fairly quickly and get to anywhere in the world that you want. So there's that aspect. And then as far as the work aspect, speaking as a rural family doctor, I wouldn't change it for the world. And it goes for rural nurses too. You get to do way more stuff. Like you are the everything. You are in clinic. You might do eMERGE. You deliver babies. You do C-sections. You do surgeries. You do your inpatient care. I talk to med students a lot about, you know, what rural medicine is, and I have a page and a half of different roles that just my colleagues here in Smithers have. So I just think that the work is, you can create whatever you want. You can find those areas that bring you joy and you can really focus on that and live in a beautiful place.
Well, that's a great answer. Thank you. And you really have put Northern BC and particularly Smithers on the map today. So it's a great place to live and work. So I'm sure you'll see plenty more interest soon. That's wonderful. Sadly, unfortunately, we can't spend all evening talking to you. I can hear the closing music, which means that we have to wrap things up. It just remains for me to thank you, Kate Niehammer, for joining us today. And as a thank you, one of our exclusive and highly coveted QualityCast North coffee mugs will be winging its way to you shortly. But for now, it's goodbye from us. I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
And you've been listening to QualityCast North. If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.